You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. My guest today is Lizzie Robinson. Lizzie is a fantastic stage manager who I worked with a few years ago on The Food Odyssey. That was a site-specific play which culminated with the actors serving the audience a full dinner. So needless to say, it was a feat for stage management. And Lizzie was such a positive force in the room for me. I really think stage managers are the backbone of a theatrical production. They can either make the experience so much easier or so much harder. So I have such respect for them, and I'm really glad Lizzie agreed to be on the podcast with me. She's going through an exciting time right now, and we decided I should mention in the intro that she's decided to become a single parent and is currently pregnant. She's making some big decisions and changes with her priorities right now. And we end up talking about this later in the episode, but we thought it was important context for you to know from the top. We've just started the Compass Podcast Patreon page. And if you find the conversations fostered by the Compass valuable to your life as an artist, please visit patreon.com/thecompasspodcast, and you can become a patron and be part of the driving force behind the next chapter of the Compass. Thank you so much to everyone who's already pledged and who's reached out with their support. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And a big thank you to my three Cardinal Point patrons so far, David Cottle, Catherine Stein, and Marcy Walsh. Yes, that's my mom. Thank you guys so much. It takes a village, and I really appreciate everyone coming out of the woodwork. Before we start the episode, I just wanted to tell you, I saw two amazing things in the last couple weeks. Last night, Frankie and I went to see the Pina Bausch pieces at BAM. Absolutely incredible. Beautiful. We had an old friend in the company, and I was just blown away. That's it. And then also, last week, we got invited to go to the premiere of Mother by Darren Aronofsky, which is a very strange movie. I can't really say that I recommend it, but good for him for making what he wanted to make. What you need to know is that it's a lot about creation and destruction and Mother Nature. And when the film ended and the credits were playing, the lights came up on Radio City Music Hall, and Patti Smith and her band were on stage and they played four songs. And my heart just melted. You guys know how much I love her. Just Kids is one of the books I read over and over when I need some help getting out of the dark side. And so even though we were sitting in the back, it was just beautiful to, out of nowhere, be in a room with her and to hear her voice. It's just fantastic. So on that note, with a little bit of surprise hope, I hope you enjoy the 92nd episode of The Compass. So, how do you try to keep from going to the dark side as an artist?
I think, so as I've been listening to all these podcasts and like trying to think about what that means to me and like what I do, like I had a lot of different answers for like what I did, like specific things. Mm-hmm. But then I think that generally speaking, I narrowed it down to like having a life and like an identity that isn't about my career as a stage manager.
Yeah.
Made all the difference. Like I know that there were times in my life when I, you know, was early just starting out, I didn't really have any friends outside of the show I was working on. You know, I was in summer stock and that's all I was doing. And then when nothing is really happening, then I no longer have like anybody to see, anybody to hang out with, or anything to do. And so yeah. Like I think that that has made all the difference as I like try to figure out. As far as what the dark side is for me, I've been trying to figure that out. Like, sometimes it's, like, being really angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, then I'm like, well, what am I angry at? Or, like, I think it's feeling powerless I don't have a lot of say and,
yeah,
you know, a lot of different things. I did meet someone at a stage manager event a few years ago who, she had been a stage manager in theater for a while, and she eventually moved to corporate events, which is like the dream.
Money. Huge difference, yeah. Money-wise. Yeah.
And she was telling me that when she left theater, she said it was basically a really bad breakup, and she couldn't even, like, go see shows for, like, 2 years.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I think, like, that seems like, to me, like, the dark side. Like, I could see myself, if I don't stop things from happening, I could see myself getting to that point when I'm just, like, so upset about, like, the industry and everything that I just need to take a clean break for a long time. And I don't ever want that to happen, because I think theater's very important to me, and I think it's important to, obviously, all of your listeners, but, like, society, you know,
Yeah. So. But it's a hard industry to be in that you don't have a lot of control necessarily, and that you have to be, you know, basically interviewing for jobs constantly and all of that.
And I'm, like, the worst at interviews. I feel like actors probably improve, maybe they don't need to improve even, at their, like, auditions, you know? Great actors, great audition skills. I can be a great stage manager, but horrible at interviewing.
I mean, that can be true for actors, too.
Yeah, you're right. I really can. But I will say this. I am pretty sure that any job I've ever gotten was in spite of my interview, really? Not because of. I'm just really bad at it.
How does it work for a stage manager? Are most of the jobs that you get based on recommendation and, like, word of mouth? Or how do you pursue
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I've definitely gotten some jobs from, like, postings, especially early in my career. Especially because before I moved to New York, I was working in regional theaters, or, like, in the summer, I did some summer stock stuff. And so that was, yeah, just, like, looking at people that needed stuff and, like, sending in a resume. But once I moved to New York, yeah, there's been, like, a few times when I joined a show where I knew nobody, and they've generally been not good experiences.
It works both ways.
Yeah.
So that way they recommend you, and you know, because they know your friend,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably a decent group of people.
Oh, yeah, those are good people. Those, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So how, did you go to school for theater?
I have a degree in international business.
Okay.
But my minor was in theater. So I just kind of, there was a point that I had to, for my business degree, I had to complete an internship. And that was sort of like the deciding factor. Like, was I going to get an internship, like, at an office somewhere, or was I going to do an internship in theater? Because the program would accept both.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I needed to, and I ended up getting an internship in theater, and, like, sort of the rest is history.
You're like, oh, I guess I am feeling a little bit more.
Yeah.
Even though this is the minor.
Yeah.
And did you go to college in Utah, where you're from?
Yes, I went to Westminster College, which is, like, a small liberal arts school just in Salt Lake.
Okay.
It was a tiny theater program. So we were sort of involved in, like, all aspects of the show. Like, you know, I built the sets, mm-hmm. I hung the lights, you know, I ran the sound, focused the lights, you know, all these different things. And then, like, for the show that I stage managed on, I'd like spend all day building the set, and then I'd go to rehearsal and stage manage the show.
Was it obvious? Was the stage management thing obvious to you then? You're like, I'm not really, I don't want to hang lights for the rest of my life. This is the thing.
I don't know that it was, because we only had, it was a small program, so we only had 2 shows a year, I think. One on the main stage. No, maybe it was 2 a semester. One on the main stage and one in the black box. And so, like, my first show that I stage managed, like, because I didn't really know what a stage manager was, you know?
Right.
Like, we didn't have stage manager classes. Like, I was assigned, they were like, you're going to stage manage this black box show. And I was like, okay, what does that mean?
Figure it out.
Yeah, they, like, gave me a book. And they were like, read this book. And I was like, okay. And I, like, sort of followed the book. And it told me to, like, write down where people were standing and, like, send out reports of, like, things that might have happened that were important, you know? Like, but so it wasn't until my internship that I, like, saw. It was, like, it was an ERTA contract. So it was at a school, but they had, like, 5 state equity actors. Mm. And the stage manager was equity. So I, like, saw them following equity rules as far as breaks and, like, why they were doing that. And, like, the way she, like, ran the room and, like, how. Because I didn't understand how, like, the stage manager, like, sort of sets the tone.
Completely.
You know? And I didn't, like, when I was in college, I just, like, would show up and sit at a desk and I wouldn't talk to anybody. And I, you know, like,
right.
I didn't really take any ownership of that. So as working with, her name was Maureen Burns, and she was, it was at Kent State University.
Mm-hmm.
They have a partnership with Porthouse Theater. Yeah. And so just watching Maureen and how, like, she had gone to school there, so she knew everybody, and she, like, most of the people at there were in the program. I was, like, one of these weird outsiders. But I was, like, a huge learning experience. So then I went back to school the next fall as a senior, and I was like, I know everything about stage management ever, you know? This is going to be amazing. And then they didn't, like, I was like, I want to stage manage the main stage musical. And they chose, like, some, you know, my friend that...
Uh-huh.
And I was so bummed. I was like, this is like...
I want to put all this to use.
Yeah,
right,
like,
away.
What is the point of all this?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There was a... Yeah, so, like, while I was in school, I think I learned a lot more about, like, all the other aspects of theater and not so much about stage management. But I did, like... There was a point, too, that I was thinking about going into lighting.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't feel like I was creative enough. Like... I still don't think I really am a creative person. I'm sort of learning from other stage managers who sort of, like, bat that down. Like, no, like, stage management is artistic. Stage management is part of this process. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and like you said, like, in setting that tone for the room, you really are facilitating the creative process. And I think that's so true. Like, I always say, if you have a good stage manager, it makes the entire process better. And if you have a stage manager that just doesn't click with the group, it can make everything harder.
Right.
Everything harder.
Yeah.
So it's a key role. Are there any particular philosophies, I don't know if that's the right word, but things that you really focus on when you're running a rehearsal room, like the things that you want people to get from you, or the values you want to set, the energy you want to set? I don't know if any of these words is right, but
no, I don't know either. I think that that sort of might fit into the question of, like, what kind of stage manager are you, which people always ask me in interviews, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I guess
this is basically a long interview, by the way, so we'll see how this goes.
I'm sorry there's no job at the end of it from me. There could be from someone else.
I'm looking, everyone. I think that, like, my philosophy is I try to make people feel, like, safe to make choices, you know? Like, I know that a lot of things aren't my responsibility. Like, obviously, there's a director who's responsible for that. But I want to encourage, like, a room of, like, I want people to feel safe to make their art without being, like, I don't know, judged or something.
Yeah.
And also, like, I do try to make people feel heard. I think that a lot of stage management is just people and, like, dealing with people and their personalities, and a lot of people come to me with, like, their concerns and stuff. And obviously I'm not, like, perfect at it, but I really do try to make people feel like their concerns are valid, and I will try to address it, and yes, you're an important part of this process, you know?
Yeah, you have to be really political in a way, kind of, because you are the go-between between the director and the cast, between cast members maybe who have an issue with each other.
Yeah, and it's, like, so fun. That's my
really.
I think that's why I gravitated towards just theater in general, is, like, I just really love people, you know? Like, and I obviously I love the collaborative nature of theater. And being a part of something collaborative is, like, obviously makes me feel like, you know, I'm needed, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is just, I've learned, like, so much about what people need and how they react and respond. And it's interesting how much you can learn about people when you're just watching them all day, you know?
You're seeing so many dynamics. Yeah. And
they don't know, you know, like... This one actor, you know, you can tell they're upset because they got a note they didn't like, and they sort of rolled their eyes, and now they're not talking to everybody else on the break. And, like, stage management is well aware, you know, but a lot of everybody else is, like, doing their jobs, so they may not notice. yeah. that like this actor like needs some extra love, you know. Yeah. It's fun.
So how long have you been in New York now?
Coming up on 5 years in November. So
nice.
Yeah, I didn't come here with a plan. Mm-hmm. I think like people had like 5-year plans, and I don't know.
That's harder in this way of life.
Yeah. I also never assumed that New York would be like forever. I got my equity card at a...
Yeah, you were already working in some big theaters before you came here, right? I was internet stalking you to remind myself, and like Ooh. The Pioneer and like some big regional theaters.
Yeah, well, Pioneer. So yeah, Pioneer's in Utah. I love it. All the work I've done for them has been crew, as I'll go home in between shows, and like while I'm home and I want to make some money, I'll give them a call, and they're great, and they're like, yeah, you can run Spotlight for us, which is also one of the very first things I learned in theater and has been so useful. Like, I can always just Spotlight. Be like, does anybody need a spot op, and like get a job really easily. That's nice. And it's also really fun. It's another job of just watching people all the time. But yeah, so I was working in regional, after I graduated from college, I was working in regional theater. So I was at the Cleveland Playhouse for a couple seasons. I was there as an intern first, and then I went up to a PA, and then I went over to Syracuse Stage as a PA for a season. And like, I really love regional theater. That would be my ultimate dream job, would be stage managing at regional theaters.
Like stage managing a season.
Yeah.
Or do you like moving around a lot?
No. I mean, that's sort of why I moved to New York. I then went back to Port House after like 4 years, and I was like, you know, I've had all this experience. I would like to come back as your equity stage manager. That's where I had my very first internship. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah. So they hired me for their summer season, and we did Damn Yankees and Sound of Music. And I got my equity card, and then I didn't really have anything lined up. It's kind of a long story, but I went home to Utah after that, and I was just sort of sitting around, and I was like, what am I supposed to do in next? Utah with this equity card? So I was like, I guess I'm going to New York. And I had put off joining equity for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge fan of unions. I don't know. I guess that's kind of bad to say, because I'm in one now. And obviously since joining, like, I've seen some benefits.
The good sides.
Yeah. Side note, equity could do a lot to help stage managers that they're not doing.
Note taken.
But yeah, so I was like, well, I guess I'm going to New York for a while, if for no other reason than to get experience so that I could find a regional theater job. Uh-huh. Where I could like not live in a city and have
steady work,
job stability, and like be able to buy a home, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, here I am. I didn't really like give myself a time limit. Like, well, I'm going to go to New York and get this experience for this amount of time. And then
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like, I'll come to New York and see what happens.
How are you feeling about it now? About the city now?
I really like it. It's, the first 2 years were rough, yeah. But like really grew on me. I obviously like all the different arts, like there's so much to see and do here, which is great. Mm-hmm. There's also so much work here, and it was also the first time in my career that I was able to like have a life outside of my job, which is like what kept me from going to the dark side, you know.
Yeah.
Because when I was moving around all the time, like I wasn't meeting friends besides the people I was working with, and I wasn't like able to like find new hobbies and new things. So this was the first time that I was like, well, I'm living in the same place. I'm not going to be leaving in 6 months. Maybe I should meet some people and like make some friends that don't work in the theater, you know? Yeah. And that's been really helpful, because like, you know, we'll go hang out and we won't talk about theater all night. It doesn't come up. Sometimes it comes up like, you know, I'm going to go see this show, but like,
yeah,
it's kind of really nice.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that you try to give your life outside of theater structure, or like find those things that you can really feel like you have a solid foundation when you're not working? I know you did that. You celebrated all of those days a couple years ago that you started that. I think was it during the Food Odyssey or right after?
It wasn't. It was. I can't even remember what year it was.
Listeners, I met Lizzie. She stage managed the Food Odyssey, which some of my other guests have been involved in and heard me talk about, but it was the most insane show for a stage manager, and it involved serving dinner to our audience.
It was also...
And an immersive show. It was crazy.
It was also one of, like, my favorite shows I've ever worked on ever.
Oh, me too.
So good.
It was a really fun group of people.
And every time I go to an interview where someone saw that show, we talk about that show for a really long time.
That makes me happy that people saw it.
Yeah, they're like, you worked on this? I loved that. And I was like, yeah, let's talk about this
tomorrow.
Let's
talk about all the dishes we had to wash.
Those dishes. And by we, of course, you mean.
Mostly.
You did help. I remember. That was fun. How do I give my life structure? Okay, yes. So, yeah, I did.
I feel like you give yourself projects, but this is just me observing from afar, which
absolutely.
I love.
Which the National Day thing was definitely a project. So I was feeling like kind of in a emotional slump.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, it was so random. I was like, well, this National Days are cool. I wonder if there's one for every day. And I sort of like looked it up on Twitter and I was like, oh, maybe I should follow this on Twitter and they could, you know, I could see what the National Day is every day. And then it's one thing led to another. And I was like, okay, for the month of August, I'm going to celebrate a National Day every single day and it's going to be great. And then I got really busy. I, like, was ASM on an opera, and then I, like, went to the Cleveland Playhouse to be ASM for the Little Foxes for their season. But I was like, I'm still doing this because I said I would. And so, like, I started celebrating a National Day every day. So, no, it's, like, National Root Beer Float Day, National Ice Cream Cake Day. Like, a
right,
lot
like
of it is food.
The food ones are pretty easy
yeah.
to do.
One of them was, like, National Aerospace Day. Aerospace?
Uh-huh.
That's like airplanes, right?
Yeah.
And I was in Cleveland, and so I went to this airplane museum.
I have been there.
And it was awesome.
My brother is an aerospace engineer.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know that I would have come here if it wasn't this National Day.
Were there any that were hard to celebrate? Or you were like, really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like doing this today.
Sometimes I made them up. Like, well, the first month, I didn't, like, I went all out. And then I was like, sort of like, posting about it on Facebook, like I'd take a picture and like write this long post, and people were like kind of getting into it with me, and it was really fun.
Uh-huh.
And then like on August 15th or something, I posted, you guys, I don't mean to be dramatic or anything, but celebrating a National Day every day is changing my life. And it absolutely was. Like, there was something about celebrating something every day that was totally bringing me out of my like emotional funk.
I don't know if this is too weighty to put on it, but it's a little bit of, like, a gratitude.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that, you know...
Totally.
It isn't a big deal in your life.
Yeah. It was absolutely, like, that's, like, what when people say, like, right, be grateful for something every day, like,
yeah.
That's what I was doing, except for a lot of it was, like, I bet if I went and counted, I haven't done this yet, and I really should, if I counted how many days the things were, like, the first time I'd eaten that or the first time I'd tried that, most of them were... It was the first
wow.
time for me. So I was like, after that month of August, I was like, well, obviously I'm going to keep doing this. And I ended up doing it for like a year and 7 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was like, it was crazy, but it was so fun. And so then if anybody wanted to get together with me, they'd be like, hey, you want to get together next Thursday? And I'd be like, great. So next Thursday is National Cupcake Day. Here are some cupcake places. Would you like to go to any, you know, like there was always something to do. Like I never had to like, what should we do? Do you want to just, like, go to a movie, or do you want to, like, walk around, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really great. And, yeah, I turned it into a blog just because I was like, this is weird to post on Facebook every day. It was, like, a lot of posting. But I eventually, this is kind of sad, I eventually had to stop because I was gaining so much weight. Because it was a lot of food.
It's not, like, National Salad Day.
Yeah. It was, like...
It's, like, the treats.
And also, I was trying to, like, not... It was also expensive.
Yeah.
But I was, like, trying not to buy things, so I started, like, making things mm-hmm. in my home, which was awesome because I couldn't really cook or bake. I made a cheese souffle, which I'm very proud. It, like, came out. It worked and everything. But there was one point, like, my kitchen had, like, a devil's food cake and, like, a thing of cookies because, like, I'm not going to eat the whole thing. Yeah. So I was making, like, 5 things a week, and my roommate's like, well, I'm not really into chocolate. And I'm like... Okay.
It must have been nice when you were doing shows. Your cast must have liked it.
Yeah. My cast did, like, I would bring stuff in, or I would ask them to celebrate with me, and a lot of people would get into it. It was really fun.
No, but I love that, because it's easy to just get into the grind and like you're working, you're coming home, you're not yeah. making that. This is a great city, but sometimes you get too tired to make the effort.
Yeah. And like
to go out and experience
it. I definitely wasn't employed those entire, that entire 1 year, 7 months, you know? And so like the days when I didn't really have anything to do, I'd be like, well, Lizzie, you at least need to get out and do like National Hot Dog Day.
Right.
And so like, I do remember like, I got ready and I got on the train and I rode down to Grace Papaya and I got a hot dog and took a picture and I was like, oh, I got out today. Look, it's really nice out here. Yeah. You know?
I feel better.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy writing?
Yeah, I think I do. I don't think I'm particularly great at it, but I did have a gig at one point for about a year and a half where I was a blogger for a tech company where we would write about like new phones that were coming out or new apps and stuff like that. And that sort of got me like started with the whole blogging thing. Like it was fun to research the stuff. Like it was, you know, I was interested in that anyway. But then when I was writing about it, you know, it was like, it was fun to try to like see what people would be interested in or like what links I should put to get people to click on. So that when that gig ended was sort of around the time that I started thinking about doing the National Days. And yeah, I think it's a nice outlet for me. There are people like that are really great writers that I'm like, oh yeah, I could read this. I'm not one of those. But I do, yeah, I do enjoy it.
Well, I know you do a lot of blogging. So does it feel like it's a little less of a creative outlet and more of like an expressive? I don't, well, that doesn't make sense. Let me ask that again.
I wonder. I don't know.
Like, does it help you think through things?
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
It also, like, I'm really just into documenting.
Yeah?
Like,
this might be a strange question, but isn't that a kind of a Mormon tradition, journaling?
Yeah.
Is it related to that, you think?
Or
is it
just... Probably.
Or not consciously?
It probably is. Like, it's, like, encouraged... Also, by the way, viewers, I am Mormon.
I just casually threw that in there.
Viewers, I called you. I think that it's just encouraged, like, to, like, document your history. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, family history is so important. And I don't think that it... Like, I don't know that if that's exclusive... it is talked about a lot in the Mormon church, but I think that, like, any of us, right? Like, you don't have to be Mormon to, like... appreciate your grandma's journal or something.
No,
you know?
Of course not. I was obsessed with all of the, like, when my grandparents passed away, just going through all of their papers, all of their photo albums.
Yeah, my mom passed away when I was just little. I was six, but she kept a journal for like a hot second. It's like not very much, but like we like,
wow,
me and my sisters, when we you know, when I discovered that it was a thing, I was like, what? You know, and I read it, the whole thing.
Because it was such a short amount of time, I'm sure you've like pored over that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And so it kind of makes me wonder, you know, like how much would I, like, do I wish she had written more, you know? And like, what do I want to make sure that I leave for the people that didn't know me when I was young, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I feel like when I don't journal as much now as I used to, but I feel like a lot of it is, when I did it, was really private stuff.
Yeah.
Like stuff you don't think about wanting other people to read.
Yeah, that's
but
so
I guess
true.
That's kind of the beauty of leaving it for posterity, is like, you know, you're not there to be judged anymore.
That's so true. Because I like, maybe that's why I prefer blogging, because I'm like, well, I'm writing this for... Yeah. Like, people could read it tomorrow. Like, what? I'm going to edit it in a way. Which I guess isn't very honest
it's
to my posterity.
What does your family make of your life as a theater artist and in New York? You have several sisters, right?
I have three sisters. Mm-hmm. I think they are supportive. I don't know. I'm pretty sure none of them really knows what a stage manager is. Like, I try so hard to explain it, and there will be like sometimes a YouTube video will come out where it shows somebody like calling like a sequence, like backstage, or like somebody calling the Tonys opening number or something, and I'll like send it to them. I'm like, look, that's a stage manager, you know, trying to get them to understand. they watched that, what was that show that came out recently about Smash? My dad watched Smash, and he's like, who's the stage manager? And I was like, this is a bad example.
Quite specific enough.
Yeah, because the stage manager in that one was, like, making smoothies and, like,
yeah,
like leaving rehearsal for long periods of time, you know. But, yeah, I think they're really supportive. They don't... I mean, they've never, like, traveled to see a show that I'm stage managing. I don't know that that's really a thing, but... They do often, like, several times, actually. If I'm working on a show, when they're coming to visit, they obviously come see it. Like, my sister came and saw Food Odyssey, and she loved it. And she, like, if I ever talk to her about any of you that were in the show, she's like, oh, yeah, I remember them. Like, she knows you guys.
And your dad is supportive, too?
He is, yeah.
What does your dad do?
He is an accountant.
Gotcha.
And he does my taxes, so he knows how things are going.
Yeah, that's an interesting relationship. Yeah. I mean, lovely that he does your taxes.
I know, it's great. He's awesome. I really do have, like, the best dad. But I remember when I was, like, I'm moving to New York, and he was like, what is
your
plan?
Do your other sisters live closer to home?
My oldest sister does. She has kids. She has a family and a husband. My one just younger than me also does. She just graduated with her master's in sociology.
Mm-hmm.
No, not that. So she got her master's in social work, but she does want to work in, like, hospice and stuff like this, I think, unless she's changed her desires. And then my other sister lives in Texas, but my youngest sister. But my youngest sister did live in New York for, like, 9 months or something before I came here. She went to... some interior design school on the east side. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it. But it was, I don't remember where I was at the time. I might have been in Utah or something. But my dad, like, came and dropped her off and helped her get set up and everything, and then he left. When I came, he just dropped me off at the airport, you know? And I, like, it was, like, 2 days after Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, my flight was supposed to land during Hurricane Sandy. So, like, my flight was delayed a few days.
That's an interesting time to join the city.
I showed up and, like, there were no cars. There were, like, lines down the block for gas. And, like, all the subways that were running were free because most of them weren't running.
Yeah.
It was, like, a few days before I, like, figured out, like, that this wasn't normal.
This isn't normal. Yeah. Everyone was probably being kinder to each other than they ever are.
Yeah.
That kind of unity that comes from...
Yeah. But so he was like, he was definitely worried. But I know every time he does my taxes, he's like, wow, you made it through another year. You did it. Good job.
That's an accomplishment. Supporting yourself in New York City
is
a huge accomplishment.
That's crazy.
So I know that we had talked before that you are currently, like, thinking about moving out of stage management, or where you are at, like, day job / career wise right now. What do you want?
Well, I think I have been, when I moved to New York, I got this job like 3 or 4 months in as basically data entry that I did from home, which was like a dream because I could just...
Was it part-time or full-time?
It started out 12 hours a week, and then it was 20, and then it ended up being 30.
Wow.
But it was also any time. So, like, I could, like, go to rehearsal, and, like, I could do a few hours and go to rehearsal and do a few more hours, you know. And I ended up doing that for, like, 4 years, and so I never really had to worry. Like, I always had at least some income, and I didn't have to base my job decisions or my show decisions on whether or not I was going to make
any
money.
Awesome.
Yeah. But then like 4 months ago, I got laid off from that. And so I was like, oh, so now I need to make some real decisions about, like, where I want my career to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been thinking for a while, as much as I love stage management and theater, I think that my priorities are just, you know, they're, like, shifting a little bit as I wanted to, like, I was, you know, I want to start a family. I want to settle down somewhere. I would love to be able to, like, go on vacation, you know? Not that, I mean, I know that people who work in theater go on vacation, like, obviously, like, we can afford it sometimes.
Sometimes.
But so much of it is like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get a job again. So right. I'm just going to say yes to every single job.
Yeah.
I can't plan, I can't take 2 weeks off if it means I have to say no to this job, you know? Right. And that event, that started wearing on me. So I started thinking about, like, what I wanted in a career. And I guess, yeah, it came down to, like, I decided I wanted to start a family.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, if I'm going to start a family, I need to think about how I'm going to support that
stability.
Family.
Stability.
Yeah.
And health insurance.
Yeah. That's, like, the thing.
Yeah.
That has
especially
been,
right now.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I've been a hot mess about that. So I started just, like, sort of temping a little bit and like working with staffing agencies. Right now I'm temping at the LGBT Center mm-hmm. on 13th Street, which is great. I think it's been helpful for me to like, it is the first job I've had, I think ever, where I'm just in an office and not like, you know, it's not rehearsal, but I'm like also any other job I've had that hasn't been theater has been like customer service.
Yeah.
And this is like nice that it's not that, but it is also like an office and it is not as exciting as
it can be monotonous.
I would like.
Yeah. I know how yeah. you feel. That's
yeah.
That's what my day job is.
I guess
right
that's
now,
why
too.
People hate Mondays. I never really understood why. Now I do.
And why they like the weekend,
yeah.
as we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
I know. When I started this new day job, I was like, oh. When I was out and about on a Saturday and Sunday, I was like, look at all these people relaxing. They all look so happy.
Yeah.
Usually my day off would be like a random Tuesday and
yeah.
Thursday or something for no reason.
It is like having weekends off and being able to like I just plan with a friend. Like,
plan ahead.
She's like, hey, can I come into town this weekend? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I don't have work that day. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I know you were also working some events and stuff, too. Are you still considering the, like, stage managing events thing, like that woman had mentioned? Or are you looking for something that's a little more predictable?
I don't know that I have taken anything off the table at this point.
Right.
I have been working with this event company called Eventage
mm-hmm.
that I've really enjoyed. I just, my first gig with them was the New York City Marathon last November. And then they have like two seasons. They have like spring season and fall season basically, or I guess winter season. So I did a ton with them last spring, summer. And then we had like June, July, August off, September maybe even. And then they'll pick up again in late September, October. And I've still like told them that I'm going to do stuff with them on weekends that don't conflict with this day job because they're like great people, you know, and it's also just like it's fun to work these events and I know that there is a way that I could make that a career, but when it comes down to it, like I need something that is not me away from the home like 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really what events are.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like if you're not working for them at a certain level, it's just like on call.
Yeah.
Like yeah, work this so weekend, work this one day, work the, yeah.
Yeah. So they have like, yeah, they've got people that, they've got a staff. I don't know how big their staff is, but it's pretty decent sized.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it's primarily women, you know, like.
Yeah.
I think that that's one of the things I really like about that company. It's not only women. They're not like, they were started by a couple, you know, a man and a woman, but they just, I think that they're based out of New Jersey and they just work year round doing these events and they're kind of always busy and crazy, which they seem to be enjoying, but I'm like, oh, that shoot. I wish that fit into like this plan that I'm making for myself and my
right.
future.
That it could be that full-time thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like some path is diverging in the wood? Or is this a decision that you're kind of making for the present moment and you think sometime you'll come back around to theater
yeah.
at some point?
I guess it does feel sort of like a path. But I don't want to say that, though, because a part of me is like... well, theater will always be a part of my life. I wonder how active of a role I could be behind the scenes if I'm not doing it as a career. I don't know.
And you could still be a huge part of your life, even if you only pursue it as an audience member or as a, you know, community theater supporter or whatever that is, you know?
Yeah.
It can be a beautiful part of your life.
Yeah. And I don't see myself ever, like, not participating. So I guess it isn't really a path diverging. But at the same time, it is, because I'm like, okay, I need to make some decisions, like, really quickly about, like, what kind of job do I need to start looking for so that I therefore get hired, so that I am employed. And, like, you know, I don't always, that's really boastful, but I do get a lot of emails from people like, hey, do you want to stage manage a show, you know? Mm-hmm. And I sort of stopped accepting, or I've just kind of stopped responding to those over the past several months, as I'm like, okay, I'm not, you know, I'm moving on, I'm looking for something else, this is okay. But then, like, recently I got one that I was like, oh, I'm kind of interested in that, you know?
No.
And then I was like, shoot, does that, could I do it? Like, could I still take it? And maybe, like, I think that it would be better for me if I just, like, made a choice.
Well, and if you took that project, then that kind of pushes that decision four months down the road.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're in the same spot.
Yeah. Which has happened. So, like, I'll be honest, I've quit theater several times, and then I'm like, except for this will be my last show. And then the last show is, like, such an amazing experience that I'm like, oh, fine, I can keep doing this for a while.
Right. And I guess, I mean, I, of course, wanted to have you on to talk about all of these things, but I know when I had originally asked you, you were like, well, I'm kind of transitioning out of theater. Am I really what you're looking for?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, a lot of this podcast is about art and commerce and how we figure out what we're doing. And I think a lot of people are in your position where it's like, is this going to give me long term the life that I want? And what are my priorities? And how can I still have creativity in my life and not feel like I'm constantly, like, just paying the bills or constantly waiting, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I think that when I started in this career, I don't know that I ever pictured myself doing it forever, but, like, I just loved it so much, right? But then as I got older and my priorities started shifting and I was, like, viewing things through a different lens, I started wondering, like how plausible is this? Like, even if I get to where, like, I'm making a lot of money, like I would see people, like, in these higher positions, and I would, like, ask myself, like, is that the life you want to live? You know, and not that in any way judging them, because a lot of people would say, yeah, that is the life I want to live. That's what I want to be doing. I want to be stage managing on Broadway or whatever. But I guess, okay, so let's just explain why. So last December, I decided that I wanted to have a baby.
Right.
So I started the process of, like, and I'm single, and gay. So both things have an impact on that. So I started looking at, like, what my options were. I mean, I had been thinking about this since my late 20s.
You've always wanted kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, in my late 20s, I told my family, like, I'm going to adopt a child, I think. And they were like, oh, like, they thought, I'm pretty sure they thought I was going to come out to them. I hadn't yet. And I was like, everybody sit down, I have something really serious to talk about. And they were like, okay. They were like all waiting. And I was like, I would like to have a child.
And they're like,
this wasn't what that is not where we thought this conversation was going.
Did you guys talk about that when you eventually came out to them?
No, I don't know that I've ever talked to them.
We thought that was what that was about when you mentioned the adoption thing.
No, I wonder if they'll listen to this podcast and be like, that is not what I don't know. That's what I would have been thinking if we'd been in a different position. Anyway, so last December, I was really looking into it, and I started trying in the spring. Mm-hmm. Like, I found a donor, an anonymous donor, and went through all the tests and did all that stuff. Started trying in the spring, and now I am pregnant.
So amazing.
I know, I'm so excited. So, like, as a single woman, every decision I make about my career is, like, through the lens of, oh, and there's going to be a baby in 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
It's like 6 months. 6 months.
It's incredible. Yeah, there's a lot more weight on it now.
Yeah, so, like, can you take this show that's going to be in 4 months if it means you won't be, you'll be saying no to a full-time job?
Right.
In the meantime?
You could have, yeah, the stability.
But really, it just comes down to, though, like, health insurance and work-life balance, which I don't think... I know I have not figured out working in the theater. I know a lot of people that have, and I'm so proud of them. Like,
yeah,
it's like
it gives
a trick.
Me hope whenever I meet people who have kids in the theater.
I don't know. I guess I know a few like people that were single moms in the theater, but like there's sure not a lot of them. And I don't know if any of them were stage managers that I've met.
Yeah, because stage managers have to be there longer than everyone else.
Yeah. It's like a lot more hours and a lot later nights and a lot more stress and a ton of like being on call. Like that's a frustrating thing about stage management is that like, are you just supposed to be working all the time? Like when people respond to your emails or call you during the day, like this is,
right.
I thought this was my time off, especially like if it's the day off, like that really gets me. This is my equity day off. Please don't call me.
Note to everyone.
Please don't call your stage managers on the equity day off.
Do not call your stage managers. Yeah. Well, those are all huge changes.
Yeah. I'm really, really excited about this part of my life, but it's also like, it's terrifying because things are still so much up in the air that like,
yeah,
who knows where I'll be in 6 months. I don't. If you know, you should tell me.
I mean, it terrifying, and the thing that I've been focusing on right now in my life, because I recently stopped drinking.
That's awesome.
Which feels really good. But I mentioned this on the intro to the other podcast where I had mentioned that to people, but if you haven't heard it, there's this quote that I like. I'm going to forget the woman's name now who said it, but it's change when it happens cracks everything open, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
And I like the idea of, like, if you're changing one thing, you kind of have the opportunity to change everything.
And, like, that's so scary, but so exciting.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Because what if there's things that you are afraid to change, or what if there's things that you didn't think you could change?
Yeah.
Or you didn't know you wanted to change... So, I'm excited for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I've never, and as I've been, like, I think the biggest decision I need to make is where I'm going to be, right? Like, am I going to leave New York?
Geographically.
Yeah. And as I've been, like, really stressing about that these past few days, one thing that I keep remembering is that I've lived in a few places, mostly, like, before I moved to New York, I kind of traveled all over and lived in a few places. And by the time I left, I loved all of those places, you know, like...
Yeah, like you can make your home wherever you are.
I don't know that I feel like pretty confident that I could find people that like are feel like my people no matter where I go, which is really comforting.
For sure.
Even though I'm still panicking a little.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this next question, but if you do not want to talk about it, you do not have to. I was wondering how you're handling the current political environment, how you're finding ways to deal with it or be active or stay sane.
Well, I was never political until now.
Yeah.
I think that this election created a lot of activists, which is the only good thing that I've seen so far, like good result. And I was one of them. Like, I was very passive in politics. Like, I voted, but like not with a lot of passion or, you know, but I've been like actively like protesting and I did have to take a break from Facebook after this last week, which was exceptionally difficult. But like, I have learned that that it's also helpful, like for like emotional health, to like exit the conversation for a minute.
Yeah, it can be easy to think that that's the only way the conversation is happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's healthy.
Yeah. Or like, I'm obviously not true, but like, Facebook is probably the least effective way. I mean, maybe there's, maybe sheet caking is even like, even less effective, but yeah, arguing with people on Facebook is like really brought out the worst in me. Especially because I think I don't like to be confrontational, which might surprise people about me, especially if they've seen me on Facebook lately. I really don't like that. I like value all of my friendships and my relationships with my family. But like, yeah, it does get to a point when I'm like, okay, saying nothing isn't helpful. Okay. So I think using my voice has helped me to stay sane, even though sometimes I wonder if it's making a difference. But just like the way that I feel much more aware of what's happening in this country and like listening to, you know, political shows, like I never did that before. I avoided them. I didn't want to deal with it, which is so like that's my privilege, right? Like,
yeah, you don't need to pay attention.
I didn't need to worry about it because it wasn't affecting me.
Right.
And just because it's affecting me now, like, I feel bad about that, but like, I guess I can't change
the past.
You can
only move forward and change the future.
Yeah. So I guess that's what I'm doing to stay sane. Although I don't, obviously, I'm not really that sane still.
Is there like a lesson you've learned in the last couple years that you're really proud of that you want to tell me about?
Like a life lesson?
Yeah. Like a life lesson or something that you've changed the way you do it that you think is just helping you as a human.
I think I've spent the last few years coming to like an acceptance of who I am like who I am as like Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
Which also I guess affects who I am as a stage manager, but like accepting and loving that person despite all of my like flaws and shortcomings. And as I've been going through that process, and like it's not easy, and then sort of recognizing that we're all doing that, you know, we're all just living our lives like trying to figure out how to like love and accept who we are and despite our flaws, and that maybe we should be patient with each other as we try to figure that out about ourselves.
Yes.
I guess as I've learned that, I think that I've just been a lot more open to the people in the world and more excited about how different everyone is. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware that I'm the minority in the room basically anywhere I go. Like, not racially, but I'm Mormon, and I'm pretty conservative, you know, but I'm also gay. And so, like, when I'm with a lot of conservative Mormons, like, they're like, oh, she's so liberal and extreme, and, you know, and then I'm, like, in a rehearsal room with a lot of people that, like I sometimes fear, like, voicing my opinion about, well, this, you know.
Right.
And that's made me nervous sometimes, not like for my safety, but just like sometimes a little nervous about how people respond. But I think as I've been like more accepting of people's ideas, I'm like, oh, you know, I think people are probably be a little bit more understanding of mine. It's tricky though, now that we're in this political climate of
right.
like
that's so extreme,
so extreme,
and people are like and sticking like, to their guns on both sides.
Yeah, and I'm like somewhere in the middle, and I'm like, but guys, you know,
right?
And so it seems like I'm just fighting with everyone because I'm like, can we not be like this extremely conservative and this extremely liberal? Can we just like have like normal conversations about how to make our lives, which often gets lost. So that's like the thing that I'm trying to say to people in my life is that like, I think we all want the same thing, but we're getting caught up in like these parties and these lines that we've drawn and that we have to get further and further away from each other. But we really do just want this. We want to like have families and a life and a career and be safe and be happy. And like,
yeah,
can't we support? but we can't, I guess, you know, there's so many different ways.
I think it's amazing though, that you are trying to have these conversations. And I know I can't always be easy, but like when I see you, I know I'm not part of your Mormon community, but I think it's really brave when I see you making posts about like, this is important to the LGBT community and how can the church be more accepting and like starting those conversations. Yeah. And you're trying to like make change from within the organization, right, instead of leaving, which is a totally justifiable choice too. And I know a lot of people have made it, but I think that's really brave.
Thanks. Yeah. It's also, yeah, I think that it's like that's the choice I made was like, well, I could leave and like sort of give them what they want.
Right, but if it's important to you.
Yeah. I could stay and like fight for this thing that I belong to just as much as everybody else does, you know. Mhm. And it's also been really comforting to have so many people reach out to me. Like a lot of them are still shy about it, but I've had a lot of people reach out to me like, yeah, I'm on your side on this, you know, which I really, really appreciate. And I like look forward to these people like sort of being on my side out loud at some point.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I'll take what I can get, you know?
Yeah. Like not just to you, but to the people who are making these rules or making these statements.
And like, just because I'm vocal about, you know, how the church's stance on like homosexuality or women, you know, affects me.
Yeah.
And you're vocally supporting me. Like that doesn't mean the person that's like quiet about it, like they need to hear it too. They need to hear it probably more than I need to hear it.
Yeah.
I just, there's like a, we don't need to get into it, but there's like a big problem with like the Mormon LGBT youth right now that like a lot could be helped if people were more vocal.
If you are having a day where you're feeling really stuck or uninspired, like, are there any concrete things that you reach for again and again? Like a book or a place you go or something like that?
I walk a lot. Mm-hmm. Currently, the blog has been changed to Walking to Mordor because I am walking to Mordor.
I saw that. So do you have a number of steps that it takes to...
Yeah, I was watching Lord of the Rings again one day, and I thought, wow, they walked a lot. I love walking. I wonder how far they walked, because I love walking. So I Googled it, and there's a spreadsheet you can find on nerdfitness.com that has the number of miles, and like you enter in how many miles you walk, and it calculates where you are. And so then I, of course, bought this very large map. Very large map of Middle Earth, and I made a little, like, a small figurine, and it's walking across the map as I walk.
I love that. See, this is what I mean. You give yourself large projects.
So walking is a huge thing, and it's my favorite thing about the city.
Oh my god,
all-time favorite.
The best thing about New York City.
Yeah, because I can just walk for a while, and when I'm done walking, I get on a train and go home. It's amazing. I also, here are some other things I do. I watch commencement ceremony videos on YouTube, speeches.
Uh-huh.
They're so inspiring. You watch a few of those and you're like, I can do anything. I'm going to go out and change the world.
I love that.
There are some really good ones. And every year I'm like, oh, there's going to be a new batch coming out. There's like...
It's a new season.
Yeah, it's a new commencement ceremony season.
Do you have
season.
A couple favorites? You want a shout out?
I recently watched the one by, what is the actress's name? She was in Hidden Figures. She was the...
Octavia Spencer?
Yes, Octavia. Mm-hmm. She did one recently that was very good.
Okay.
J.K. Rowling did one that was really good a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, then there's funny ones. Like, Ellen DeGeneres did one. So she's just funny. I mean, like, Oprah was really good.
I'm going to watch all of these this week.
Yeah, they're, I mean, they're all so good. And, like, just watching a few of them, you don't need to watch them all in one sitting because you can save them for the next time you're feeling like, can I make a difference in the world? And the answer is yes, you can, Leah.
I love that. Okay, good one.
Another thing I do, also on YouTube, these are things I do, like, when I'm awake stressing in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sleep because I'm stressed about, like, all the worries of the world. I watch slam poetry on YouTube. Sarah Kay, she did a TED Talk, I think it was in 2011, called, gosh, I don't know what it's called. But she does, in that TED Talk, she does two different poems. And they're, like, so good. So I'll watch that a few times.
Awesome.
But generally any slam poetry is.
Yeah. No, I love slam poetry. But I would not have, I'm just not a big YouTube person. I don't think to look these things up.
Right.
I mean, I can
go a few months without like thinking about it and then I'll be like, and suddenly I'm down the rabbit hole.
You're
of like,
this is what I need.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then lastly, is there anything that you've seen recently of any art form that you want to recommend? Or friends shows or whatever.
I was thinking about this on my ride over, and I have had a summer of not seeing anything because I was...
You've been focusing on other things.
I was actually very sick for a little while with morning sickness, and I couldn't go anywhere because I was worried that I was not going to make it through. So I missed most of the summer of shows, which really bummed me out. I did recently see Doll's House Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which was amazing and also very funny.
Yes.
I was not expecting funny. I was like, this is going to be like drama. It's really going to make me think. It's going to really, you know, I'm so excited. And like, it did those things, but it definitely made me laugh. And I saw the play that goes wrong.
Also hilarious.
It was bananas.
Hilarious.
I can't even, so many things went wrong.
So many things. Indeed, they did.
Oh, just thinking about that show just makes me laugh. It's crazy. They must have so much fun.
Oh my god. You know, I had. Did you listen to the one I had with one of the actresses on, Charlie?
Yeah, I listened to that one.
It sounded like they have a great time. And it's also like I just don't see that many farces.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be reminded of like, this isn't something I think about that much. It's not something that I necessarily am like drawn to, but it's a whole other category.
Yeah.
And like, it's a delight.
Yeah. I have this little notebook that I take with me to all the shows I go to, and I write down quotes as the show goes on. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the night, I like take a picture of me with my playbill. This is like my thing that I do. Take a picture of me and my playbill and whoever saw it with me. And I write, and I include my favorite quote from the show. I did it with Play That Goes Wrong. I was just laughing the whole time. No notes, just laughing.
Well, the quote was like some slapstick moment with no words.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Lizzie, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.